Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Ed Alexander. Ed producing and engineering our show on the other side of the glass. But Ed and I wish you very much a great day on this, our midweek edition. It's Wednesday, June the 10th, 2015. We're coming to you live from Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We live stream our show on my website, buckmastershow.com, and on kvoi.com. And really, you can hear our program anytime, anywhere with our podcasts. And we have the complete show archive of every program, just about every program we have done over the past 3.5 years. That's available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. And we're going to get things rolling today with a newsmaker interview with University of Arizona President Dr. Ann Weaver Hart. Then at 12:30, we'll talk historic preservation with renowned Tucson architect Bob Vint. Bob will be with us about 12:30. The Buckmaster Show live line is open for you, 790-2040, and our Facebook page. Still room for more friends at Bill Buckmaster. That is the spot to go on Facebook. Ann Weaver Hart, President, University of Arizona. Dr. Hart, how are you?
I am very fine. Thank you, Bill.
Good to have you with us again.
I am so excited to be here. Thank you.
We're going to start with some good news. How would you like to start with good news?
I would love to start with good news. It's beautiful weather. It's a little bit below normal. Always what we like, with good news to go with it.
This is good news for the University of Arizona. Juan Felipe Herrera has been named just today, the Library of Congress, naming him the next poet laureate of the United States. Here is the University of Arizona connection. Herrera has published 7 collections with the University of Arizona Press, including Half the World in Light, New and Selected Poems, which won the National Book Critics Circle Award and the International Latino Book Award. And this is a big deal for the University of Arizona. I want to thank and congratulate all of the people at the University of Arizona Press, including my longtime producer, Rosemary Brandt, who is the publicity manager. And Rose worked very hard on this project. So congratulations to all of them.
Oh, we're very excited to have the poet laureate have his publications through our press. Really ties incredibly high-quality publications in the humanities. It ties our border culture with the Latino roots of Herrera and his poetry. And it's a beautiful way to remind everyone that the literary achievements of Southern Arizonans really are recognized around the country and around the world. And what a wonderful time for awards to celebrate Southern Arizona. Bill, with your recognition as a member of the Arizona Broadcasters Hall of Fame. So this is a wonderful day for celebration and a wonderful day for pride for our Southern Arizona cultural and publicity roots. So celebrate.
Yeah, I've been celebrating.
It's good,
been,
so are we.
It's been great news, and of course, this is really a big deal for the University of Arizona. Speaking of Latinos, and Mr. Herrera is the first Latino poet to be named the United States Poet Laureate. Good piece, good op-ed today by Leah Marquez-Peterson and Elaine Klein of the Arizona Board of Regents in today's Arizona Republic, basically saying we've got to improve getting more Hispanic students who are enrolled in our 3 state universities, getting those people degrees, getting them to stay in school and to finish. Because right now, only about 1 in 10 Hispanic students who enroll in our Arizona public universities earn a degree.
Well, that may be for our overall numbers, but the University of Arizona has much better numbers in retention from freshman to sophomore, which is a critical time for students to stay in college, but also for degree achievement. And we are extremely proud of the accomplishment of our Hispanic students. But it is also important for us to realize that Arizona is a demographically diverse place. And if an important group in our community is not represented in higher education and higher paying jobs, then we as a state will suffer over time. We are talking about Arizonans, and we need Arizonans to do well in their professional and personal lives. So I was very excited to see that Leah Marquez Peterson and the president of our Arizona Board of Regents, who works as the representative of our board, together wrote such a great argument in support of higher education achievement for the Hispanics of Arizona.
And at the University of Arizona, that achievement rate, as you point out, the curve has been north. It's been going up.
It has indeed. And overall, our freshman class has been over 41% underrepresented minorities now for 2 years in a row. And we fully expect that the University of Arizona will continue to reflect the world and certainly our state of Arizona in its diversity.
Dr. Ann Weaver-Hart is with us, 790-2040. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Hart, she would be happy to entertain your comments and questions. Of course, this has been budget time for the three state universities. The final budget now has been approved by the Arizona Board of Regents, which oversees and governs our three state universities. How do you look then, Dr. Hart, at this final budget picture for the upcoming fiscal year beginning July 1st?
Well, this is a very challenging time. While the nation is recovering from the recession, however slowly, Arizona is recovering even more slowly. And with the political philosophy that is dominating the public discourse in our state, it has been a time of cost reduction. The result of the most recently completed budget session was a $99 million cut for the three state universities, $28.4 million of which is the University of Arizona. And this is direct reduction in our general fund, the dollars that are set aside for our education mission. You will hear that the cuts represent a much smaller proportion of our overall budgets, but recall that our activities are often funded by restricted dollars, including our over $600 million a year, which goes into sponsored research. Those dollars are designated for very specific uses and are not available for our direct education mission. So this is a significant cut of 15-16% of that general fund, and we are going to address it in the light of the Never Settle academic plan. We cannot and owe it to everyone in our community not to abandon the future of the University of Arizona, even as we respond appropriately. So our plan is to go ahead and reduce the budget by not only that 28.4 million, but we also have increased costs that are related just directly to the inflationary increases in the cost of doing business. So about $40 million will have to be reallocated, redirected, or directly eliminated in order for us to move forward and continue to provide the world-class education the University of Arizona represents.
Dr. Hart, as you know, the critics, the folks who think this cut is fine, will say the university's been fat and they can certainly absorb these cuts. But as you point out, these are general fund cuts.
These are all straight out of the general fund. So the almost $2 billion that the university's complete budget represents includes all of our auxiliaries and our designated gifts and designated grants. Those dollars, by law, are designated for other purposes and cannot be used for the general fund spending. Basically, general fund dollars are tuition and appropriations from the state. And those dollars go directly into that education mission.
All right, let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. And speaking of tuition, caller Matthew, calling us at 790-2040, would like to bring up that topic of tuition. Go ahead, Matthew.
President Hart, I'm my condolences on the budget. It's very difficult for you and the rest of the presidents. However, while you've had to make very hard decisions, what are you thinking about with regards to midterm, long-term resolution of how we change the cost curve on tuition increases? And I would also encourage that Congress needs to step in and consider a scholarship program that allows maybe 100,000 students per year to get free tuition. Any thoughts on tuition cost curve? Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. I appreciate that question very much. First of all, Arizona is one of only three or four states in the entire nation that has no student-based substantial loan. Student aid system. And so the dollars that are provided for financial aid for our Arizona students come directly out of the general fund expenditures of the institutions themselves. And so the financial aid that we do provide our students, and we provide substantial financial aid for undergraduate in-state students, all come out of that general fund money that is appropriation plus the tuition payments of other students. So I am wholeheartedly in favor of a financial aid structure that provided more direct support for students. I would encourage Arizona to join the vast majority of other states, in addition to the idea that you provided, which might be a federal program, to support our students. So we are actively working to make that possible. The second thing that we do is to work very hard on addressing the economic base, the financial aid need of students who have specific needs financially. And for our in-state students, many, many, many of those students provide need-based aid, receive need-based aid that leaves them paying little or no tuition. Now, that doesn't mean that the overall structure doesn't yield tuition revenue, but we work extremely hard in our financial aid office to make sure that need-based aid is directly addressed. And then finally, we have to work hard to decrease the cost of doing business. The cuts, the tuition increases that the Board of Regents passed for the University of Arizona most recently cover less than half of the actual cost of the cut to appropriations and don't address any of the inflationary costs I referred to earlier. And so we are making very real, substantial cuts in addition to tuition. And it's important for people to know that we do not consider this to be a trivial issue. This is a very important issue. We have to, as do all other not-for-profit businesses, reduce the cost of doing business so that a higher proportion of our resources are devoted to our core mission. And we take that very seriously at the University of Arizona.
All right, we're going to take our break right here, the first break of our midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Ann Weaver Hart, President, University of Arizona, will stick around for another segment. We'll be right back.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Thursday for a newsmaker interview with Pima County Supervisor Ramon Valadez. Also, we'll talk with Tom Collier. Mr. Collier is the Buckmaster Show Consumer Affairs Contributor. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and anywhere in the world, live streaming podcasts and show archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, over in Southwest New Mexico. This is one of my favorite areas, really, of the Southwest. It's so beautiful over there. It's close, too. 3-hour drive from Tucson. Pretty much take I-10, take a left at Lordsburg, and then head up to Silver City at about 6,500-foot elevation. Perfect this time of year. Great place to do some hiking, antiquing in historic downtown Silver City. We send so many of the Buckmaster Show listeners over there, and everybody comes back with the same saying. We had a great time. You can find out about Southwest New Mexico by going to their great website, southwestnewmexico.org. Really nice places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge, Little Toad Creek Inn. The full listing is on the website with the many things to do. Dr. Ann Weaver Hart is the president of the University of Arizona with us for another segment. And someday she'd like to go over to Silver City, probably.
Absolutely. In fact, my husband and I were just talking about it about a month ago. And,
there you go.
And
Bill sent you.
I will. Okay. And I want to defend myself. I actually did ask Bill about Silver City before the ad. I knew he was going to do the ad.
There you go. Our friends in Silver City, very loyal to the Buckmaster Show. We're very thankful for that. Sheldon has been waiting on the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. Sheldon, we're really running tight on time. Give me your bottom line.
Thank you, Bill.
Give me the bottom line question.
Thank you, Bill. Mm-hmm. Well, the taxpayer funds have been used very well with Red Byrne acting so quickly to hire a replacement for Andy Lopez, Jay Johnson. Mm-hmm. Is it possible that there might be a transition back to Kendall Sanford Field? But maybe, if not a new stadium, the U of A men's baseball team. There's a historic component here. Okay. NCAA championships.
Okay.
For several decades.
All right. Sheldon, thank you very much for bringing up athletics, Dr. Hart.
Thank you, Sheldon. You know, athletics is a big part of life at the University of Arizona, and we are extremely proud of being a strong member of the Pac-12 and a historic member of the Big Five conferences in the country. And baseball is very important to us. Jay Johnson is a wonderful young coach, a new addition to the University of Arizona, and I had the opportunity to speak with him personally and am very, very pleased that he's joining us. The one thing we do have to do is to make sure that athletics remains a critical part of university life, but does not put pressure on that tuition issue, nor on the state appropriation issue that we talked about earlier. And so, unlike the vast majority of athletic programs, the U of A's program is largely self-supporting, with the exception of the athletic scholarships and tuition waivers we provide, and a small support for facilities. So any facilities that we build or refurbish substantially rely on philanthropy and support from private individuals. It's a part of that commitment that I referred to earlier to make sure our core resources are spent on our central mission. And thankfully, we have wonderful fans and great philanthropists, and anything we do with facilities is going to be tied to their support.
And High Corbett Field's a great facility.
It's a great facility, and it's a great—
historic in many ways. I mean, it's, yeah.
Very historic, and part of a partnership with the city as well, which is also important.
All right, let's go back to the question about tuition, and I think student loans is the question here from Carl. Carl, you're with Dr. Ann Weaver Hart.
Yes, a real quick question on tuition. Has anybody given any thought to weighting tuition and financial aid toward students going into the science, technology, engineering program where you can actually get jobs? Now, I understand that we need English majors and psychology majors, but it's very, very difficult to find something that pays anything like a living wage in those arenas. And it seems to me you'd be definitely ahead within society and within money for everybody if you started weighting some of that tuition aid to the science and technology fields. I know that the mining engineers and geologists have absolutely no issues finding jobs when they graduate. So I'll go off air and wait for your answer.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you, Carl. I appreciate your question, and thank you for the plug for our mining engineers. And right now, for geologists, you know, geologists, the job market goes up and down depending on petroleum and other industries. But your point is well taken. And in fact, the University of Arizona provides a very large proportion compared to other major research universities of undergraduate degrees in the STEM disciplines. And we're talking about the science, technology, engineering, mathematics, not some of the other softer disciplines that are being piled into STEM by some definitions. So we do focus very hard on financial aid, but through philanthropy, we also work in our budgeting structure to make sure that those disciplines, which are actually much more expensive to teach, also receive the financial support that is required in order for them to be strong and productive. So in many ways, financially, we support the STEM disciplines and their contribution to the employment market in our economic reality. In addition to financial aid or tuition, lots of financial ways of supporting STEM. And we pay attention to it at the U of A, and I appreciate your pointing that out.
Big news about the U of A and offering bachelor's degrees online.
Yes, we are. You know, we've had thousands of courses online and have focused on professional master's degrees online, but are responding to requests from many, many different quarters to provide especially bachelor completion programs. So what we've done in the last year and under the leadership of Dr. Melissa Vito is to focus with our team on degrees where we have substantially available online coursework and then completion for degrees. We're going to target our students who are partway there, but we also want to have completely online degree options. more and more students are taking some of their undergraduate education online. And many students run into a barrier when they're 3 years finished with their 4 years. And being able to complete a degree is a tremendous opportunity for them professionally and personally. And we want to make sure that that full spectrum of opportunity is available at the University of Arizona.
And the price point will be right for this?
The pricing will be market-based, so that the price is not the same as in-person. It mm-hmm. is based on the market for online. And we also are working hard to make sure that students are fully able to support their online educations.
Can this be a revenue enhancement then?
Well, right now we're not looking at it as a revenue source.
Okay.
We're focusing on trying to provide a world-class education, a University of Arizona degree, but with components of that degree being available online, and not as a way to secure revenue to subsidize the rest of the university.
All right, Dr. Ann Weaver-Hart with us on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up, someone Dr. Hart knows, preservation architect Bob Vint. My wife and I took a lovely tour with Dr. Hart recently of Old Main, and Mr. Vint and his associates really did a great job.
Oh, they did a wonderful
job.
That
restoration was not an easy project.
No, it was not an easy project, and that building was in serious jeopardy. But we now have one of the examples of territorial architecture, one of the few examples remaining in the Southwest, and are extremely proud to be represented both with our historic architecture and with the first historic building of the University of Arizona.
All right, Dr. Hart, thank you very much. I hope you have a great day, and thanks for what you do.
Thank you so much, Bill.
All right, 12:31 on the Buckmaster Show. Let's take a break, our mid-show break. We'll be back with architect Bob Vint. We have lots to cover downtown San Javier Mission. We're going to spend a half an hour with him. That's coming up next.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garber on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Hi, Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us. How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We're broadcasting on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. And if you're not near a radio, it's not a big deal. If you're by a computer, that will get you to us either at kvoi.com for live streaming or on my website, buckmastershow.com. That's also the place where usually we have our shows posted within about an hour of their conclusion. We've got them all up there, pretty much everything we've done since we launched this project in January of 2011. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show, Tucson architect Bob Vint. Bob is the architect for the restoration of the Mission San Javier, the White Dove of the Desert. I kind of think of it as the iconic building of not only Southern Arizona, but, you know, we've got the Grand Canyon as the natural wonder, Bob Vint. We've got the Mission, I think, is the man-made structure that's a wonder.
I agree. It's actually, as Rainer Banham, the great English architectural historian, said, San Javier del Bac is without rivals or equals. Whoever named her the Queen of Sonora surely knew that this was the most beautiful man-made object in America Deserta.
We'll come back to the Mission in a few minutes, Bob, but I want to talk a little bit about something that was close to your heart and probably still is. You've been pushing for that kind of a Latin American-style plaza across from San Augustine Cathedral on South Stone Avenue. A group called Plaza San Augustine LLC hired you a couple of years ago to make a preliminary design for that site as part of a broader effort to redevelop the area. That is pretty much now looks like it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's unlikely at this point. It was an idea that was brought forward from the community, in particular by two neighborhood activists, I'll call them that, with very positive spin on that. Some people hear a neighborhood activist and they think, oh, they're out to stop progress. But this would be Dr. Jean-Paul Birny and his wife, Dr. Chris Tans, who came to me with the question, is the parking lot in front of the cathedral adequate space to build a Latin-style plaza, Latin in the sense of Latin culture, you know, coming from Rome, from Spain, which, of course, was brought here to what was once New Spain and then became Mexico and is now the United States. So I studied it for them on their behalf for an honorarium, and we developed a concept for what could be done with that parking lot to develop it with businesses around, to define a central plaza, housing above the businesses looking into the plaza, and we were advocating for that. One thing our group never achieved was control of the land. And as Kurt Vonnegut once said, you shouldn't care about what you don't own. You can find that in Breakfast of Champions. But we brought this forward. Mainly we were advocating that we did make some attempts on behalf of our group to make offers on the land. We had one point where the county was willing to swap land with the parking lot owner. That didn't work out because there were limitations on the appraised value of the land and so on. But in the end, a private entity has not yet closed on the land but has an option and intends to put an apartment building there rather than a plaza. And that's certainly, you know, that's their prerogative.
What did the plaza look like originally in front of the cathedral?
There was another plaza and there was another cathedral back in the 1800s, the 19th century. The original Cathedral of St. Augustine was built in the 1860s. It took about 7 years to build, from 1862 to 1869, during the American Civil War, when this was still Arizona Territory. It was on the site of what's now 20 de Agosto Park, the green traffic median or island in front of the octagonal bronze building that's, I guess, the Unisource Energy Tower, or what is it now? I can't remember. But anyway, it's the park with the Pancho Villa statue. Mm-hmm. And that was the site of our original plaza. And it indeed was ringed by businesses, shops, and cafes and restaurants. A single-story adobe construction, albeit, but opening onto the central square that was laid out by the Spanish in 1775 when Tucson was founded, and it was dedicated to St. Augustine. San Agustín del Tucson is what the Spanish named this place in 1775. So we might just as well have become St. Augustine, Arizona. But we opted for the Native American Tucson, or Tucson, as we Anglos have rendered it. So the original plaza was fronting a cathedral, which has now been demolished. Mm-hmm. That cathedral faced west. By 1896, the town had grown to where the church needed a larger cathedral. They built a new one on South Stone. And the original cathedral was abandoned. It became a hotel for a while.
Hmm. I had not heard that.
Oh, yeah. The nave of the church was the dining room of the hotel, and then the convent became the hotel rooms. Hmm. It then became a car repair garage in the 1930s. Circuses were held there, and then it was finally demolished and replaced with a Greyhound bus station. So we have kind of a checkered history. And then in urban renewal in the late 1960s, early 1970s, all of that was leveled, and they not only took out the plaza, they took out the mesa that the plaza was on. It was called La Placita de la Mesilla, the little plaza on the mesa. And it was all, you know, excavated out so trucks could get under the pedestrian bridge connecting this business development called La Placita, no plaza, but new construction, linking it to the county court complex. So the fundamental geography of Tucson was altered by urban renewal, and we were hoping to recover some of that initial Spanish sense of place that Tucson began with. And it appears that, well, the logic of the market is such that if a developer is paid market price for half an acre of land, or actually close to an acre, 0.9 acres, that developer has no incentive to leave a third of it open as a plaza and cannot get the return on investment that is expected. So the logic of it is there. And we had hoped perhaps to get some cooperation from the Downtown Redevelopment Agency, which would be the Rio Nuevo. And that was not of interest to the developer. So at this point, we're essentially abandoning the original concept, although we're looking at another option, which would be to this suggestion was made by Fletcher McCusker, the director of Rio Nuevo,
right,
to sink Stone Avenue for a block in front of the cathedral and build a plaza over the roadway. And then you could do businesses and shops on each side of it, sort of like the Ponte Vecchio in Florence or something, and then create a plaza space immediately fronting the cathedral. So
so that idea is still out there.
Yeah, the possibility is out there. We'll be exploring it.
So, you know, going back, the first time I lived in Tucson, coming out here as a kid from Chicago to go to the University of Arizona in 1965, I was here in that period of for historic preservationists like yourself, kind of the dark ages for Tucson, the late 60s with the urban renewal. Correct me if I'm wrong, Bob, but didn't we have like kind of the finest adobe structure kind of village, maybe better even than Santa Fe at the time?
I agree. Ultimately, we had the origins of that. Mm-hmm. It was pretty dilapidated and run down, underinvested in. It was seen by the city fathers as a slum. And, you know, it was a poor neighborhood, but to the folks who lived there, it wasn't a slum. It was home. In fact, the great singer Lalo Guerrero wrote a beautiful song, Mi Barrio Viejo, about growing up there. And I recommend it to anyone who can find that. I'm sure it's available on YouTube. But the matter of urban renewal was the spirit of the 60s was out with the old, in with the new.
Right, right.
And the country, believe it or not, was still too young to realize that we had a past worth saving. The National Preservation Act wasn't passed by Congress until 1966, largely as a in reaction to the demolition of Penn Station in New York City, which was the kind of the clarion call that awakened the nascent preservation movement. And I should mention, I studied at the University of Arizona under Bob Giebner, who was really the first preservationist in Tucson, who documented the barrio as it was being bulldozed.
Right.
And there's actually an excellent book I'd like to recommend to anyone who would like to learn more about this. It's by Lydia Otero, Dr. Lydia Otero at the University of Arizona. It's called La Calle, about Meyer Avenue, which was the center street of the Mexican-American community in the old barrio, and how essentially the, again, the powers that be, City Hall and the Planning Department, envisioned a modern American downtown, not an old, dusty Mexican pueblo. Ironically, while they're still trying to sell the old pueblo concept, they essentially demolished half the old pueblo, and then, again, ironically, just a couple years after that was done, the surviving half of the old Barrio Viejo, or Barrio Libre, was declared an historic district. And so it's life is full of ironies, and that's a very great irony.
Before we take a break, Bob Vint, overall, some of your impressions as you have watched Rio Nuevo evolve. It's very, you bring up Rio Nuevo to a lot of people, and it's very controversial. But how do you think we're doing overall with the downtown redevelopment?
Well, I think the original Rio Nuevo was very misguided and overblown and out of all proportion. And, you know, we got carried away with enormous pie-in-the-sky dreams that all, you know, failed. And, of course, the economy collapsed in 2008, 2009, which finished off that original ill-fated, ill-conceived so-called Rio Nuevo. I believe now, under the leadership of Fletcher, Rio Nuevo's got its feet back on the ground. They've scaled way back in their ambitions, and they're doing specific projects where they can actually make a difference. And I believe now they're actually a positive force for downtown. The earlier one was just way off the charts, and it was maybe the spirit of the time. It was the headiness of anything goes, and you know, the wretched excess of the pre-recession.
But this reincarnation of Rio Nuevo, if you will, seems to have captured some of the essence of kind of the Tucson feel.
I agree. I actually think that there's real hope for the future in that.
All right, let's take a break right here. We're with Bob Vint. Bob is a historic preservationist, a well-known architect, owner of Vint and Associates Architects, and he is an adjunct faculty member at the University of Arizona School of Architecture. We're going to talk about San Javier Mission when we come back with Bob Vint. Stay with us.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I park right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
American Openings is pleased to be a sponsor of Good News Radio Broadcasting, featuring local news and information on AM 1030 KVOI, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ on KGMS 940 AM, positive and encouraging music on 88.1 FM K-Love, and pop classics on KCEE 690 AM. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer, concerned about our community and proud to be a partner with Good News Radio to help make our community a better place.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Mariachi del... de Mexico?
Sol de Mexico.
Sol de Mexico. Thank you, Bob Vint. Speaking with Bob Vint, who is the architect for the restoration of Mission San Javier, the White Dove of the Desert. Talking with Bob about, we were talking about downtown. And I do want now to move out to the mission. When did you first get involved, Bob Vint, with the mission?
Oh, gosh, it's been a quarter of a century ago.
Wow,
now.
25 years ago. And Dr. Bunny, Bernard Fontana, Bunny Fontana, kind of recruited you into it, didn't he?
He did. Both Bunny Fontana and Jim Gresham, my mentor.
Oh, yeah, Big Jim.
Oh, not...
No. Oh, you said Gresham, Jim... I heard Jim, and I heard a G, and I thought about Big Jim Griffith. But you're talking about a different Jim.
Right. Yes. Now, that's very logical, Bill, because the first Jim G.R. that comes to mind is Griffith, the folklorist.
Big Jim Griffith, right.
And he's been a member of the Patronato San Javier Board. But Jim Gresham, who's an architect, who unfortunately passed away last year, was a mentor to me, and he's the one who introduced me to work there at the mission all those years ago. And... when I was young.
Yeah, there you
so
go.
So how did that happen?
When we were all young.
Yeah, but we've been working slowly and steadily there at the mission, sort of as funding permits and as our work crew, the size of our crew, of course, is determined by the funding. And the work is very painstaking and very slow going. It's all done by hand.
The preservation of the mission is charged to a group, the Patronato, correct?
Yes, Bunny Fontana and Jim Gresham were both founding members of the Patronato San Javier, which is a patronage society based on a Mexican example. And when something needs to get done in Mexico, this leading citizens form a patronato, which exists to orchestrate and to oversee and also to fund needed work. And in this case, it's the needed work is the preservation of the mission. The mission being still an active Catholic parish cannot receive government funding directly. Therefore, the patronato organized to fundraise primarily from private donors, individuals, and some businesses to fund the ongoing work. We have on a couple of occasions received some government grants that went to the Patronato, a nonprofit, 501c3, tax-exempt, non-denominational entity that exists solely for the purpose of restoring the mission as a cultural landmark. And as you mentioned, Bill, it is the iconic structure of Southern Arizona. It's the first European building built in Arizona. It's the oldest work of architecture, I would say. There are older buildings. Those would be the Native American cliff ruins. But in terms of a work of architecture, it's the first and the best, I still think. And so the Patronato to this day continues to fundraise. And we're starting, actually, the last big chunk of structural repair work on the mission, which is the East Tower. And you might have heard something about that.
What needs to be done there?
The building back in the 1950s was completely covered with a cement plaster, a hard coating of cement on the outside. The idea being to protect the old soft brick. It's over 200 years old. The mission was built between 1783, think about that, the year of the Continental Congress, I think, in 1797. And over the last 60 years, underneath that layer of cement, the old soft brick has been eaten up. And so we need to remove the cement, repair the old brick, repoint the mortar using compatible traditional materials, which is lime and sand, no cement at all. Mm-hmm. And then we need to re-stucco the tower to give it a new protective skin, but a breathing skin, not a hard skin that traps moisture as cement does. And so
that's the last kind of really big piece of this restoration project.
Last major chunk of major structural work. And
from
then on out.
What kind of money are you talking about to do this, right?
Yes, we're estimating.
And I know you want to do it right.
Right. We're doing it slow and steady, wins the race. Mm-hmm. It's estimated to be a $3 million project and to take as many as 5 years. Our plan is to do all the work that we can down low at the base of the tower in the first tier to minimize the length of time that scaffolding has to be up. Because I know a few years ago when we worked on the West Tower, the scaffold mm-hmm. was up for a couple of years. But, you know, folks were frustrated by that, understandably.
Yeah, I can't get a great picture.
Exactly.
That's what people were saying every day.
I felt terrible
yeah,
about that.
I know.
People come from around the world to visit our mission, and they come out, and here it is all covered with scaffold. Although, if you've ever traveled in Europe, you'll see that many of the monuments there are also in scaffolding.
They're ongoing projects.
Yeah, you've got to put, you know, energy back into these old buildings to keep them from falling apart. So,
a line item in the bond package in November actually mentions San Javier, doesn't it?
You are correct. This is under Proposition 430, Natural Area Conservation and Historic Preservation, and the county administrator, Chuck Huckleberry, actually took a special interest in the mission as the symbol of Pima County. If you think about the great seal of the county of Pima, it's San Javier del Bach Mission.
It is. It is.
And so he has identified $2.5 million for the preservation of the mission to go some towards the exterior and the work on the East Tower, but we also need to maintain and clean the interior artwork, the mural paintings and the statuary. And that's, an ongoing need to make sure that the mission never gets into the condition that it was at, say, 25 years ago, when the interior was darkened and blackened by soot and grime. And so the goal of the Patronato is to restore the building and then to maintain it into the future. So we will be continuing to raise funds and do the work. Now, if you're interested in learning more about the bonds, there is a website, which is www.yesonpimacountybonds.com. www.yesonpimacountybonds. Look it up, and you can find greater detail on the bond election coming up this fall.
All right. Also, the project that you were involved with at Old Main. Old Main, one of the old, speaking of old buildings, Old Main, certainly iconic building for the University of Arizona.
Yeah, it's also the second oldest public building in Arizona. If you think about the mission being the mm-hmm. first, mm-hmm. Mission San Javier was built in the 1700s during the Spanish rule here. And when the mission was built, this was considered part of Spain. 100 years later, 1891, Old Main was begun, although it took 5 years to build. I wrote the Historic Preservation Master Plan for Old Main. And then when it went to being carried out, the university selected Sun Construction with the support of Poster Frost Mirto Architects to carry out the master plan. So my role in that was the initial analysis of the building and assessment of conditions, and then it was eventually carried out by a design-build method using Sunt, who's a great Tucson contractor. My dad worked for Sunt for 20 years.
Wow.
So, it's a great building also of the Anglo-territorial period of Tucson's history as opposed to the Spanish colonial period. We hear a lot about Spanish colonial architecture, but there's really only one work of Spanish colonial architecture in Arizona, and that is the Mission San Javier. Well, you could also look at Tumacacori Mission, mm-hmm. but it was heavily rebuilt in the 1930s by the Park Service. So the mission stands in really for the as an intact Spanish colonial space where you can walk inside and really go back into the 18th century.
Bob Vint has been with us, and Bob also has been teaching a course in responsible development. Have we been responsible in our development here overall?
Well, you know, it's in parts
it's
and pieces.
It's a mixed picture, I'm sure.
Actually, this kind of closes the whole circle here, Bill, because oddly enough, One of the things that's happening now in Tucson is there's a return to a higher density of development, shared walls, row housing, the use of courtyards. You can see this happening west of the Santa Cruz River, south of Congress Street in the Mercado development. Essentially, what we're doing is we're going back to that Latin model of housing, the courtyard model of housing that was done in the barrio that 40 years ago we knocked down. Mm-hmm. Now we're trying to return to that because it makes sense to build with a higher density. You use your land better. You can counteract this tendency towards suburban sprawl, which eats up the desert. The course I'm teaching is a seminar on arid region urbanism, studying and analyzing and teaching the students about the principles of how to build responsibly in this desert environment, one of the most beautiful natural environments on the face of the earth. And yet our model of untrammeled sprawl development has really destroyed large swaths of it. And there's a movement now to return to more filling in the city, filling in vacant lots, building to a higher density on the courtyard principle. So as it with all things, Bill, there's good and bad.
And they come around usually, full circle.
Yeah.
Bob Vint, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Bob Vint, owner of Vint & Associates Architects here in Tucson, and we appreciate the half hour with Mr. Vint. Coming up this afternoon for Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw, and then Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8 in the morning, and 8 to 9, The Daily Double with Christy Simone, and then back at 12:04 for our Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Ed Alexander will be on the other side of the glass and with me tomorrow at 12:04, and Ed and I wish everybody a very nice afternoon and evening. Talk to you tomorrow.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cordero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.